96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Specialist, and I'm here for all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the human society. I want to thank you all for joining me tonight on Guardian Radio. We're streaming live on my Facebook page, The Doctor Is In With Me, Dr. D, Guardian Radio Live, and as well as guardiantalkradio.com. Interesting show. We have a little mixture of things tonight. I'm going to talk about my experience at the CIF conference forum. It was really, really good. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we're going to talk a little bit about breast health and just to make sure that everything is going okay with everybody in that department. I hope you all are well tonight. I'm excited. I got some crazy news today, but, you know, I consider it still good news because it's best to take lemons and make lemonade, they say, because Bahamas is a challenging place. and we have to do the best with what we have here. But I had a really good day overall. So, of course, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical healthcare needs. We are a family medicine clinic located in the Bahamas Heart Center. We're on the second floor if you're looking for us. You can reach us at 326-1521. Or our WhatsApp, 4324010. We do NHI, all types of private concierge services. So you're looking for a physician or medical assistance at your home, your office, your yacht, wherever you may be, your hotel room, we can help you out with that. So give us a call. We're also gonna be expanding some services such as EKG, portable EKG, so we can come to you with those services as well. So anything you really need, you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, medical_concierge_services. You can find all of our services listed there, and of course our website, www.mcsfamilymedicine.com. I've been also kind of expanding myself too, doing a lot of more talks and discussions with groups and stuff like that. So if you're trying to reach out to me for those particular things, you can hit up my WhatsApp line 4324010 or call in at the office. Also my email, drdr.darchercartwright@gmail.com for those who want to reach me directly. I hope you're enjoying this weather. This is the first kind of cool weather we've had, so we can definitely see that there's a change in the weather. Hopefully, we'll have a cool Christmas. I really do love the idea of cool weather in the wintertime. Our so-called winter here in the Bahamas is always a pleasure for me. You know, it allows you to break out all that winter clothes that you've been storing for a very long time. I love layering clothes, so it's really, really good. And it's just great to get out of that heat, especially if you're not traveling during Christmas time. So, it just makes the season to me feel a lot more festive if we've got a little bit of cool weather. So really, and hoping that that's going to happen. And this isn't just like a short burst of cool weather. So I want to talk first about the CIF, which is a forum that's happening here in the Bahamas. And it's interesting that there wasn't, I think there was some buzz about this, but I thought there should have been some more buzz about this, because I found that this, it was a really, really good opportunity for a lot of Bahamians. I know the tickets were a little pricey, but the Caribbean Investment Forum is happening here in the Bahamas. And I had an opportunity to go to the opening ceremony, as well as some of the general sessions that were being held. And I thought this was really, really good. I'll start by saying the opening ceremony, which the Prime Minister spoke to, and he was brief but on point. And Chester Cooper was also there as well, Mr. Minister Chester Cooper. And they opened up this event. And what this event was really about, and this is what I really wanted to go and kind of see what was happening. If you go to their main page, the Caribbean Investment Forum 2023, it says meet your investment partner. And so this was really an excellent idea. Apparently this is the second one, and they decided to have this in the Bahamas, where they would allow people to come to this conference, learn a little bit about investments and what's going on in the world. And basically they would have us all in the same place, and it would give them opportunities to not only learn, but to pitch their ideas and maybe find the person who's able to invest in you. And they wanted to do this like regionally, but also globally. So what I found was a lot of the investors and the people that were there were actually coming. Well, there's some of them were Caribbean, but a lot of them were coming from outside of the Caribbean. And so this was a really great opportunity. There was a lot of money. They were, you know, amount of money that was being thrown around. I heard $145 billion and so many millions of dollars in investment money that was available for the region. So we had speakers from the European Union. There's people there from the EXIM, the Chinese bank. There was a gentleman there that I met. His name is OK. He's from the African, the African Investment Bank. You know, the European Union. There were a lot of heavy players there that were really, you know, throwing around some big numbers. I know one of the ladies from the European Union, she came and she threw in and said, you know, we're going to throw another $8 million out there into Caribbean investment. So there was a lot going on. And, you know, I think I saw some Bahamians, but I don't think I saw enough Bahamians. Because, and I know maybe some of the Bahamians will be coming later for like the pitch activities and different stuff like that. But really, this was a place I think that a lot of Bahamians would be. There were people from all parts of the Caribbean. And what I found is there were a lot of investment teams from the governments of other Caribbean countries. So like Barbados had a team, Turks and Caicos had a team, you know, St. Lucia. All of these Caribbean countries kind of had their investments and I guess things to do projects, but there's also opportunities for entrepreneurs to kind of pitch their idea and find the people that may be interested in being a part of that. And with that amount of money, millions to billions of dollars floating around in people interested in investments, I mean, that page should be packed with Bahamians. But, you know, we had our fair share of Bahamians. But this is just something I thought was really, really interesting. Some of the main things they kind of wanted to highlight with this particular forum, they were talking agriculture, they were talking technology and IT, renewable energy was one of the major things. And then logistics was also one of the theme things that they wanted to take a look at, especially logistics for our region, because, you know, it's difficult to move things around. And that's usually a big problem with a lot of our businesses, is being able to tap into the global community. And I think if even more so than money, some of these particular partners might be very influential in being able to make a lot of that happen. And so the theme was just not just talk, but to have some action, to really get some partnerships out of this. And so it was really, really good. There was an interesting talk as well on artificial intelligence and how it really got incorporated. The guy was a speaker, Paul, I forget the rest of his name, but Paul, I think it's Paul Almer. Paul Ahlstrom was one of the really exciting ones because he talked about AI. If you listened to the show before, we had a conversation with C. Allen about, and he was talking about, you know, being ahead of the game and how his wife had cancer. And he traveled all around the U.S. This guy is a billionaire because he's like a venture capitalist type of guy. He invests in different companies. And he couldn't be there because he was at the meeting that he has every year for one of the charities that he deals with cancer, where they speak to the actual patients that they help and assist. And why this was a major thing for him is because his wife had a really rare case of lymphoma, a cancer. And he went all around the world and all around America, and he basically got data from all of these cancer patients, and he put it all into in for analysis. And he created a program that would match persons with cancer with the proper trials and early treatment protocols that were out there, so that they had the best opportunity to be kind of like saved from cancer. Because even if it was something rare, if there was a rare trial out there and they matched them up with that. And so he created a whole program for that. And he talks about how he kind of pulled in data analysis and AI into all of that, and how he invested in all these different companies. So really interesting guy. Yeah, I think he's a Mormon. He's also the guy that owns Angel Films. That's the one that did the Chosen, you know, the film that really made it big the other day. So he is a big hitter out there, and he couldn't make it, but he was in there digitally, and he talked about AI. Now, some of the things he talked about in terms of AI, he talked about the fact that we should dive in, of course, that he feels like we really should get into this AI stuff. A question that I posed to him was some things that he brought up, because I find with a lot of people who are interested in AI, they kind of like, these are the problems, we're going to ignore it and just go for the benefits. And he talked about how AI was disrupting education, even at the college level, and how sometimes AI hallucinates, which means that it just goes off on a tangent, which is kind of scary. He also showed that sometimes it glitches, it couldn't spell. So something he had put on the screen, he had really beautiful graphics that he had created using AI that was a part of his presentation. And then he also showed an example of AI creating a speech for a similar dialogue that he was having. So whilst he was talking to us, he actually programmed the AI to create a speech on artificial intelligence and its effect on the Caribbean and the region, blah, blah, blah. So as he was talking to us, AI was producing its own comparable speech, which was based on our region of factors. So that was very, very interesting. But then my question that I posed to him was, the other part that he talked about is how, you know, there were so many certain jobs that were going to be eliminated because of AI. And we've heard all of this before. And how his daughter was going into a particular field. And he told her, well, you know, your job's not going to be there in 5 to 10 years. And that she should switch gears. So the thing that I asked him was, with AI being so unpredictable, sometimes unreliable, sometimes having hallucinations, sometimes not being able to spell correctly, how do you bank on putting all of those things, including the elimination of certain people's jobs, on the backs of something like that? And I didn't get like a super great answer, but you know, I think his idea is that eventually we would clean all of that up. In fact, the guy is really smart, though. He talked about a program that they created to actually clean up some of those problems along the way and actually vet a lot of the things that the AI was doing. So, I mean, it's a fascinating conversation. And, you know, this AI stuff is something. And he was just like, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to it's going to create the change. So it, like, you either dive in now or you're going to kind of get left behind. So it's like, it's a weird thing. But I see where he's coming from, and he's one of those guys that's always ahead of stuff. Do that well in school, but he was able to realize later in life that maybe he learned a different way, and the way that he looks at life is different than the systems would allow, and his creativity is what allowed him to eventually have multiple companies and be able to be more like an investor. So very interesting there. His thoughts were math and science were basically, you know, the key to the future. So that was interesting. Then there was a lot of stuff on green energy, and the conversation moved to the fact that right now the world is looking to invest $3 trillion in green energy, this whole idea of moving away from, you know, non-renewable in a sense, to more renewable energy, and how that is expanding to possibly over $5 trillion in the energy sector. And this was a guy, Aaron Barenberg. He was from the EU, and he talked about the digital accelerator they had in place. So for those who were like delegates, you could go to this digital accelerator. He had spots for maybe like 50 of the first people talking about these funding and how do you get into these digital spaces. So that was something else that was extremely good. You know, there was more talks about innovation and how innovation, excellence, and executing is probably the key to maneuvering in a lot of these different spaces. And really what you needed was a lot of collaboration in order to make these types of businesses work. The big idea was that in places like the Caribbean and the Bahamas, small populations as well as aging energy systems is a really big problem and requires a whole lot of investment. And because we're doing solar on such minor scales, how do we now get that type of funding where it makes sense and someone would want to invest in that if it's not completely coming from the government? And he kind of was talking about moving from that space of being reliant totally on the government for making all this stuff happen. And, you know, really, this is the type of conversations that we should be having, because I do think that we need to move to kind of an alternative. The government is really there to create opportunity and to empower you as Bahamians, and then kind of just let you do your thing. But capital is a really big part of that, and you need the money. And there seems to be a lot of access to money. There seems to be a lot, but is there access really to the, what I won't say average Bahamian, but for the Bahamian who's truly pursuing those things, right? So how do we funnel more of that money into spaces where Bahamians who have great ideas, who are prepared, really can get in? Those things were there. But I find that even with those things, they funnel you according to their narrowed systems. So you have to kind of fit into their system rather than be the creative that you are. So if you have a creative idea that doesn't fit into the way that they think that something should be designed, I find particularly right now, I think it's very difficult to access the kind of funding that you need even from those spaces. And some of the businesses that they are funding, I'd like to see checkups to see like how well it's going, because I do see people getting money there. But if you look at any of their options on applying for money, it's very time consuming. So if you are someone who is in business now and looking to expand or grow your business, it's very difficult to take they want 6 weeks, 8 weeks out of your life and kind of dedicate it to some program that they want you to do. You should be able to like walk off the street. You've got your idea. You've written it the way that you want to write it and be able to present that idea. And they say, it's great. Maybe you clean this up here, clean this up there. But to force you kind of into their own idea of how it should be, I think is very, very limiting. And so tonight was the pitch. So I missed the pitch because I'm here with you guys. but they do have a pitch competition. So some of those Bahamians or some of those people who have those things could really get an opportunity. And I met an interesting guy who was connected to the forum who said he was actually assisting people who had pitches. So that was great too. So people who had put in their stuff to be pitched actually would get some coaching prior to the pitch competition, and then they would be pitching directly to investors. So all of these people that are trying to decide if this was something to invest in. So maybe we'll see some really huge things come out of it. I just thought it was very interesting to go to this forum and see what was going on. So there's one more day that they're going to be meeting and doing all of this stuff. And the other thing that I found very interesting that I thought made this really, really good is they did it all kind of digitally. So you downloaded an app. There was no paper, or very little paper. I didn't see any paper given out. But you downloaded the app. The agenda was on there. Contacts. You can contact anybody that's signed up on the app. So you can send a message to the speaker, to investors, to whoever. Once they're signed up on the app, you have some connection to them. Now, they may not answer you, but you do have the ability to kind of reach out to those people. So it's like the ultimate networking. Not only are you networking in the room, you're able to network online as well. So if you found something really, really interesting, you could reach out to that person and be like, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm a delegate, I'm a this, I'm a that. And for those people who were delegates, they were able to set up meetings if they want to with people, and they had private rooms for that. So I think it was really interesting the way that they did it. I think it was really well done. It was really well organized. And overall, I thought this meeting was a good idea. And kudos to Chester Cooper for accepting this, because apparently they approached him and he was just like, are you bringing the money? And they said, yes, we'll bring the money. So this was really, really good. And so I just feel maybe more Bahamians, but maybe I didn't see them. Maybe they were all preparing for their pitches. And so there was a few that I saw, but I would have liked to see more. And maybe had, but that was my experience with CIF 2023. I don't know where they're going to be next time. I don't know if they're going to be back in the Bahamas or if they're going to go to another island or go somewhere in the Caribbean, but I thought that this was very interesting and it brought together a lot of people from all over the place. I met some interesting people, who are involved in various different things in India. Someone just asked me, did I take my card, like give out my card? No, I didn't give out my card, but there was really no reason to even kind of do that, even if you wanted to get someone's information, because everything's online. And everything is digital. And currently now, I have cards, but I don't carry around cards that much because I tend to just share my QR code for my WhatsApp. And that pulls in all my information in terms of linking with me. And if you did, you could also use the QR code that was connected to the forum. And this would allow you to get all that person's information as well. So that was really interesting, the site that they used. Designated each person a QR code, and it allowed you to pull in that person's information automatically. So that was a great use of technology. I think it's the smoothest use of technology I've seen at a conference in the Bahamas for quite some time. So they did a really good job with that. I don't know if it was because, it was a group outside of the Bahamas. I don't know. I know sometimes we can be a little shaky, but it was pretty good in that. And they were really pushing people to kind of use the app as much as possible. So everything was on there. And there was even a countdown to when something was happening. So it was just like, this speech will end in 2 minutes. And then we in 10 minutes, you're going to be doing X, Y, and Z. So it was quite organized. I really liked it. It was clean. I think it was, to me, one of the best conferences I've been just because of organization, not meaning that they didn't run over in time sometimes, but it was pretty clearly defined. And you didn't really have to ask anyone for information because it was all in your phone. once you had downloaded the app, you had basically everything you needed. And that was pretty good. And so I thought it was good. I'm sure the people who paid for tickets thought it was worthwhile. And I thought it would be interesting to share with everybody, because it just opens your eyes to the possibilities that if, you know, those people just in there represented, you know, a few billion dollars, $150 billion, whatever it was, then, you know, there's a lot of money to tap into that we may not be tapping into as a country, as a nation, all of that stuff. And why aren't we doing that? So these people, in a sense, they almost seem to be throwing away money for certain things. And the gentleman from the European Union talked about $145 billion basically between South America and the Caribbean region that they just had out there for any kind of investment that related to the policies that they were dealing with. And when I see stuff like that, I kind of wonder why we borrow so much money. And why are we looking at the money that we can probably get for free, or at least, if not for free, cheaply, in terms of especially stuff with climate change and stuff like that? But what technically are we doing? So stuff like cleaning up our grid and making it better, that sounds like something that like the European Union would probably invest in if we put the proper pitch together. So I hope that, in a sense, our government also did some pitching there, because there were a lot of government organizations there. And I don't want us to just be the host, but also what did we get out of all of this? If we can get a couple billion dollars out of this event, I would be upset. All right. So Mr. Cooper talked about large investments happening in the country, but you know, those are hundreds of millions, maybe. We're talking billions of dollars. Throw a little billion or two our way. Any of these groupings could probably pay off our debt if we were to strategize how do we get this money. And so with all that money out there, we're a tiny little place. We should have no debt, and all of our needs should be taken care of. Don't wait for carbon credits. We can sell this so many other ways. And so I hope we get a little more hip to that, and so that we can spend money on things that matter, like healthcare and education and stuff like that. All the other things we should be, you know, we should be out there just getting that money, because there's a lot out there. And the world seems really interested in investing in this part of the world. The first day I was there, I sat at a table and was surrounded by some Scotsmen who were wanted to invest in energy and technology and stuff like that. So I just hope that we're getting something out of there, out of all of that. All right, so that was my thoughts on the CIF forum. There's just one more day, that's tomorrow, and it's been interesting so far. I think it was a great opportunity for all of the persons who went there as delegates, who went there as entrepreneurs. It was a great chance for them to connect with sponsors and even to kind of figure out what it is that these people who have the money, what do they want? What do they want from you? What do they want to hear? What do they want to see done? And I think that was really, really good. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and we'll talk about a little bit of health. We're going to talk about breast health, breast cancer, and prevention. So we'll be back in a moment with me, Dr. D. Archer, on the Doctor's End.
Of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find any picture direct to your phone, go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 News, smart talk, all day.
To the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Janotha Archer Cartwright, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for your medical health needs. Give us a shout, 326-1521 432-4010. We were talking briefly about the CIF that I went to this week. Really, really amazing. One other thing I would say before I kind of move on and we shift gears is that after the main opening and after the prime minister spoke, they had like some Bohemian entertainment, which I thought was really good. I haven't seen this for a long time, but they did like fire dancing and they were doing like limbo. So I think a lot of the international people got a really good taste of the Bahamas. They had a junk canoe rush out. It was really, really good. I find that, they were selling the Bahamas better than us. I mean, I felt like they did a really good job capturing. So whoever, maybe the Ministry of Tourism or whoever was advising them, did an excellent job. And I could see that people were really enjoying it. They even had a little dance where they played, you know, that song, Obey Man. And they had a guy like playing the part and it was really interesting, right? And he was like touching people's heads, doing all kind of weird stuff. And people were smiling and it was really good because they just get to see another side of our country that people really get to appreciate. The other thing that I heard from people were that come to the Bahamas on a Nassau on a cruise ship and she didn't really get a good feel for it. But now that she's here, she didn't even realize, you know, what the island completely had to offer. So it was like a totally different experience. So it lets you know that when people are coming off of the ship, like they're only getting a little taste of the Bahamas, and sometimes it's not always the best. New Providence, even in general, and like she just was like kind of like blown away. Like, okay, I was here, and this is not what I remember. And so it's good that people get to have different experiences. So that was really, really good. All right, we're going to switch gears completely. I'm also going to open the phone lines for anyone that wants to talk with me about that or my experience or just in general. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. So you can call in if you really want to. And so I really wanted to talk also bit about breast cancer and just, you know, breast in general. And I think the best way to start that is just talking about what is normal, right? So, okay. Oh, someone's asking if they can go tomorrow and what is the cost. I'm not sure if you can just go tomorrow, but I would say go to their website. Just put in CIF 2023 Bahamas. The tickets were kind of pricey now, so, you know. But check it out. And also the Chamber of Commerce was doing some type of special, so maybe contacting them as well would be something that you could do. But it is a bit short notice, pretty good. If I, you know, knew, I found out about it and I kind of put in for it and I kind of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden I got like an email saying, you know, that I should come. And I was like, oh yeah, this conference sounds really, really well. So that's why. Oh, caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good night, Dr. Archer.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, you know, I'm okay for now, but the thing is, some discussions need to be had that are being hidden in the dark, right? And I don't care if they cause a spark, but, you know, I listened to you, and you're talking about cancer. I was outside, I was meditating, and I really just came inside and heard you on the radio, but I was ecstatic to hear you live, right? Because I'm alive. But the thing is, most of us are so lost until it wasn't for my children. I become disenthused about just moving on because the human journey is so sad for somebody conscious like me. I want to discuss the affordability of healthcare and the way how the government is dealing with it. And also, some things that some human stories, just a human story. I don't normally do this, but a friend of mine, just on Sunday, I was in the store, and I saw him, and he was just talking, and he was telling me his dad was diagnosed with stage 1 prostate cancer. So his dad is a bit older than me, maybe up by 11 years or a little more, right? But he should be 70-something, but he got it in time. He could catch it in time, but he's going to take him to Cuba, right? He has the money to do all these things right away. You know, he has a different setup. But I mean, I'm saying that the thing is, he told me that they had told him here that his father wouldn't be able to get radiation or chemotherapy or any intervention until next year, August. And so, you know, I'm always reading on the internet, and I'd just like for you to just keep the public enlightened as to the innovations in the treatment of cancer. They're using sound waves, even like the immune system now. I didn't get to develop into them, but, you know, this is always something I was pushing and that I know about. But, you know, I think it's the lady out of the university in Florida. I can't remember, but she's looking at the T-cell immunity and T-cell exhaustion and all of those type of paradigms. But what I'm saying, Dr. D, is I went to get some blood tests done because, you know, I have children at a solid age, and so some of them are very expensive, and so as I go to the private labs, they're almost like 3 times the amount.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not fair. And so the hospital, the thing is, the clinic is reasonable. And so, you know, like I said, I have no problem with paying to the healthcare system. But thing is, they said the machine is down. So I'm down. And somebody's a clown. And so what happens now is, you see, consciousness is a serious thing. You know, most of us running around with mindless conversations and mindless agendas and trivia, you know, it's called having fun. That this is what is really... I don't know, most of us, humanity over the years is being engineered when you look at from the invention of the automobile, you know, spare time, leisure time, and then as technology increase, you become more obese. And that's not intended to be a pun. But Dr. D, the human journey is sad, and so some of us are happy, and, you know, some of us think that we have the most money in the world and we don't need this and this will be that. But these funds can be exhausted easily when it comes to a medical problem because they see the cuckold.
Yeah.
And the politicians still wallowing in the ignorance, the ignorant masses, and all this political fervor and whatever, dogmatic or whatever, they just move on and they think life until they tell the final nozzle hit them, right?
I mean, I agree with you.
And so, you know, we don't care about anybody anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that the price of the blood test at the clinic was reasonable, and I the first time, I don't know, I don't think I ever did the comparison, but then I was told the disparity. I was like, I want to do this before I go see the doctor on the money. You understand? And so, it's frightening for me. You know, I had signed up for NIH. I don't know what's going on, but there's no reciprocity. And so what I'm saying is to the mindless masses who just, you know, they drink and rum and they some of them soon succumb. But, you know, I've even been, you know, looking into the effects of, you know, I'd spoken to you a while back and you tell me stop drinking again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I was delving into the effects of alcohol on blood pressure and blood viscosity and all that. And I learn a lot. So I'm very ignorant still. You see what I'm saying, Dr. D? And so that's why I like your advice. Even so, I got advice from Dr. Pinto.
I'm glad I fostered some changes there for you.
but I actually read it. And so, you know, what they said was that the Guinness is basically like if you drink it like once a week or once every other week because it has probiotics on it. And they said it because it's unmalted. I can't remember the biology behind it because I only read it once. But it's so much worse because it's unmalted. The molecular events cause it to increase blood pressure more than a bear.
Pull it all together.
We need to be discussing. And then I got a joke for you because I want to run to get some stuff. What happened is you led the pandemic treaty, the re-attack setback, and I didn't know Ms. Malcolm put a show on it last week. And I found that they're back on the attack again, like I had said.
Well,
I had said, Dr. D, that they're going back into the war room or the draw room.
It's the same plan. It's the same plan. They just keep revising it.
That's what I'm saying. So they won't give up. I mean, anyhow, you know the model. I'll be back on the chat soon. Give thanks, Dr. D.
All right. Yes, sir. All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, 15-2, which you're talking about, is important. And, you know, I recently left the apparatus of the government services completely and went fully into private care because I do believe that we can do things a lot better if we don't have all of the bureaucracy and stuff like that. In terms of like the services and stuff, you know, it's cheap, but they can't maintain it. And that is the big part of the problem. And that's why we need to buy our options for healthcare. You know, I put in plans for cheap and affordable modes of expanding the healthcare system. And, you know, it's always, not to say politics or persons, but people are always trying to block it. People think there's other things that are more important, like putting up a restaurant or putting up a hotel parking lot or something that is not going to benefit the average Bahamians. And then when you come in with something that's important, something that's going to revolutionize healthcare and the things that you want to do, what you get is, you know, like, we don't want to do this, or this person wants this and this person wants that. What about doing what's important? What's about doing what's good for the greater good for Bahamians? What about investing in Bahamians and empowering them to ensure that they grow and their companies grow and they become productive citizens that can put money back into the community and make things more affordable for our own people? Why aren't we supporting those things? Why is it so difficult to get those things done? But if I'm politically connected and I want a restaurant on the beach, I could get it. But if I want to do something that's going to help the Bahamian public, it's a struggle. You know, you're in government to look out for the majority of Bahamians, to look out for the people, the greater good, things that are going to be helpful. And healthcare is so important right now. We went through 3 years of just horrible policies and, you know, terrible health outcomes, and we have not learned our lesson. The minute things are back to normal, it's back to business as usual. It's back to frivolous things. It's back to who's politically connected, who's not politically connected, who wants this, who wants that. And these aren't things that are going to benefit the greater good. You know? It's hard to get things implemented that are for the greater good. And it's a struggle. And we need innovation in healthcare. We need spaces that can bring modern technology into these spaces. And you would think that the government, because they lack capacity and they've been struggling with doing it their way, socialized medicine, would wanna support something like that. And I mean, I think some of them do, but there's always other people who are just trying to keep things back or to stop stuff for frivolous little projects that aren't important. And we need to see something better than that, right? We're just tired of all of that. But I do think that we need better health care. We need more affordable health care. All very important things to me. So I agree with you, 52. So before we go, I just want to have some pointers because we were talking about breasts. 52, you always riling me up, man. You're always taking me off the topic a little bit, but so basically, you know, if we're talking about breast health, we have to know that no two breasts are exactly alike. And breast tissue is different, feels different for different women. And not everyone's going to have nice, smooth breast tissue. Sometimes some people are going to have lumps. They're going to have, you know, different feels. And it's not that that is cancer. That may be your norm. And so I think one of the most important things that we talk about when we talk about breast health, and I'm doing a talk about this tomorrow as well, so I can expand on it, probably at the University of Bahamas, is that you should get to know your breast. Right? So you should know how it feels. You should do your self-exams and have an idea of what is normal to you. And if you know what's normal to you, it's going to be a lot easier to determine when something is abnormal, when you've had a change, when there is a mass, or when there's something that you're not used to. So get to know yourself, women. Get to know your own breath and know what that feels like and know what that could be. Now, in terms of breast cancer is a disease in which the cells of the breast grow out of control. Like with every cancer, the cells, your own cells, something happens and they don't die off the way that they should. They just keep growing and growing and growing out of control. And that creates these masses and different things that we later call breast cancer. And there are different kinds of breast cancer. And depending on which part of the breast, because the breast has different parts, it's made up with lobules and ducts and connective tissue. So which part of the breast gets affected determines the type of cancer that you might have. And so there are glands inside of there that make milk. So you breastfed before, you know that there are glands in there. And those could become they could get cancer in those places. And those are the glands that make the milk that go to the nipple and also the connective tissue and the surrounding areas. All of those places can be affected. And so you can have different types of breast cancer. And the two that most people would know about is what we call invasive ductal carcinoma. And that's the ones that start in those little ducts and they grow outside the ducts into different parts of the breast tissue. Invasive cancer cells can also spread to different parts of the body, and that's what we call metastasis. And that's when we talk about the later stages, when it's spread from that part of the body into other parts of the body. That's when we have like what we call metastasis. That's not very good because it's very hard to treat once it's spread outside of the normal breast tissue area and it's gone into other places. You also have invasive lobular carcinomas, and these are the ones that begin in the lobes of the breast. And they spread from lobe to lobe. They usually are close by, and these invasive cells can also spread to other parts of the body. There are other problems that you can have in the breast other than breast disease. You have cysts. You can have little lumps we call adenomas, where they are benign. So there are other things that are inside the breast that may not be cancer. So if you've done your self-exam and you feel like there's something abnormal, don't die and say, I'm not going to go to the doctor. Say it's breast cancer. Try to think positive. Go and get it checked out. Earlier is better. It may actually be some type of benign breast disease, something simple, like just changes in the breast tissue itself. If it's just change in the breast tissue, then, you know, that might be normal for you. And aging, menopause, hormones, all types of things. And so I wouldn't get totally upset. I would go get it checked out. And so there are really three steps when you talk about preventative care when it comes to these types of things. And the first one we kind of talked about, which is breast self-awareness. And that's because you have a routine of self-examining yourself, and you can do this every month or so, just in the shower somewhere or when you're alone, and just give yourself a breast exam. And you want to look for changes like any type of lumps, any type of unusual discharge that's coming from the nipple, any swelling or irritation or dimpling of the skin. So any changes of the skin texture itself. And if the nipple itself is painful, red, flaky, or anything like that, or just becomes inverted where it goes inside and rather than poking out. These are the kinds of changes that you're going to look for. And you want to see your healthcare provider right away if you see any of those changes and kind of find out what it is. Usually the doctor will do part two or step two in all of this, which is the doctor doing a breast exam. And your physical exam can include a clinical breast exam by a healthcare provider. And you can get this done once a year if you're getting a full physical exam, or if you have a family history of, and you can get that done between the ages of 29 and 39. You can basically start having the doctor do this every year to every 3 years. So it doesn't have to be every year, but you should try to do it after the age of 40. This can move up to yearly, especially if you're a woman with some risk factors. And then, so you yourself do your breast exams, then you have a doctor who's going to do that maybe once every 3 years. The third part that they recommend for, you know, is a screening test. So mammogram, which is low dose x-rays of the breast, is most common imagery that they use for scanning. And there's different advice on this. There's different guidance on when you should get this done. And then of course, me as a physician also have my personal guidance that I usually tailor to depending on the patient. The USPSTF recommends screening every 2 years for women aged 50 to 74. The ACS recommends yearly screening for women ages 45 to 54, and women ages 55 and older should have a mammogram every 2 years, or they may choose to still have a yearly screening. And so, you know, I had this question at a talk that I was doing the other day, and they were wondering if why it's not more often. Well, it's because, like, from the presentation I did, like, a lot of, especially in the Bahamas, a lot of cancers are seen actually a bit younger. So women under the age of 50, under the age of 40, about 48% of our breast cancers. So that's quite a big chunk right there. And usually women, as they get older, unless I guess there's like a family history, you kind of would be able to tell what the normal screening test is going to look like. And so what I've seen in guidance lately and with screening is what they're saying is, if you've had kind of a time of normal screenings, they kind of expand the screening profile so that you're not doing it as often. And so for me, I'm thoroughly about, you know, a little less screening, just because I do believe you don't need to be exposed to x-rays as much. But I feel like the two, the actual exam, you knowing yourself, and then also having a physician do an exam, is probably going to be some of your best bet. And then the mammogram really finds like really small ones. And for younger women, if you do have any kind of breast changes, we're probably going to do an ultrasound on you. So it's going to be a little bit different because of the density of the breast tissue. And so there are different guidelines on how to take care of a lot of that stuff. But that's basically going to be the advice that's out there. And so, you know, don't be discouraged. Even if you have a family history, it may not affect you. A lot of women, though, who do get breast cancer have no family history. There is a lot of controversy about what causes breast cancer. There are studies that talk about obesity being factors. Of course, smoking is pretty much a factor for almost every disease. You know, age, as you get older, you know, apoptosis doesn't become as good, I guess. Hormonal changes, effects, being around radiation a lot, the type of stuff like that. So there are a lot of things that can factor into why someone gets breast cancer. It's hard to tell, but I do believe diet and exercise are an important part of it. High fiber diet is going to be great. It's same stuff that keeps you generally healthy. It tends to be the stuff that keeps you awake. One of the things I discussed with the women at the last talk that I gave is that, you know, sometimes these people who seem very healthy, or they seem what the world considers healthy, go to the gym. Why are some of these people getting breast cancer? And so my theory on it is a lack of balance. And I feel like if you have nutritional deficits, it's also a factor. So some people cut out just too many things out of their diet. They're not getting the nutritional value. Body responds with some of these problems. So oral contraception, smoking, any kind of hormonal drug that's, you know, that's potent. Hormone replacement therapy for older women. These are all going to be things that cause problems. And so it's one of those things. So take care of yourself. Do your breast exams. Have your family doctor who will do your yearly or every few years, do your breast exam. And, you know, look at your screening and at least get the preliminary screening done at some point. Those are going to be the important things for breast health. And so just like that, we've come to the end of our show. I hope you've enjoyed it. And we'll see you all next week on The Doctor's In with me, Dr. Janotha Archer, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. You guys have a good night.